in the squadron. They called him Bullets, but we call him Greg Kelly. Greg Kelly is on the air
on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Well, man, you see all that stuff from California? Man, the cops finally got the upper hand there. It was a little dicey for a good chunk of the night and morning, but the cops are in charge. And, well, the whole country, kind of chaos all over the place. Feels like very, very edgy, very, very, and this is significant stuff. These people are calling for the death of Israel, the death of Jews. Meanwhile, we want to find out what Donald Trump wrote on a check in 2016. Did he write fee? Did he write retainer? I looked it up. You know, if he wrote fee instead of retainer, well, they would have found a place. They would have found a way to prosecute him anyway. Joe Biden, he had to be basically cajoled, forced into finally saying something about all this, which is the opposite of leadership. This is the opposite of leadership. A leader, you know, just leads, gets out in front, makes it happen. Not Joe. They figure out which way the wind is going. Okay, we want to take care of the left. We want to take care of AOC and the rest, but we can't blow off all of this. We got to kind of, so they finally did something. Joe shuffles out about an hour ago and mumbles some stuff, totally misleads America about what's really going on. Are you ready for this? Let's go. This is Joe Biden this morning after, I mean, what has it been? Weeks of anti-Semitic protest and riots all over the place. And this is the first time he's actually saying something about it at 11 in the morning, you know, as he's on his way to a political event. Oh, by the way, I got to say this. All right, go ahead.
Before I head to North Carolina, I wanted to speak a few moments about what's going on our college campuses here. We've all seen the images, and they put to the test two fundamental American principles. Excuse me. The first is the right to free speech and for people to peacefully assemble and make their voices heard. The second is the rule of law. Both must be upheld. We are not an authoritarian nation where we silence people or squash dissent. The American people are heard. In fact, peaceful protest is in the best tradition of how Americans respond to consequential issues. But, neither are we a lawless country. We are a civil society, and order must prevail. Throughout our history, we've often faced moments like this because we are a big, diverse, free-thinking, and freedom-loving nation. In moments like this, there are always those who rush in to score political points. But this isn't a moment for politics. It's a moment for clarity. So let me be clear.
Yeah?
Peaceful protest in America. Violent protest is not protected. Peaceful protest is. It's against the law when violence occurs.
Stop! Is he ever going to start talking about the Jews that are under attack, right? We already know all this stuff about peaceful violence. We know that, all right? We have books. We have laws, all right? Why the hell have you been so quiet for so long and mumbling all the time? Let me be clear. And then he's not clear. Where's the stuff about... And you know what I think he's going to do? He's going to say anti-Semitism, right? We must fight anti-Semitism, but we also must fight Islamophobia. Putting those two things on the same level. There isn't a shred of Islamophobia that you can see in America right now. Not a shred of it. But anti-Semitism, you just look out the window. Look down the hallway. Keep going.
Property is not a peaceful protest. It's against the law. Vandalism, trespassing, breaking windows, shutting down campuses, forcing the cancellation of classes and graduations. None of this is a peaceful protest. Threatening people, intimidating people, instilling fear in people is not a peaceful protest.
What people?
It's against the law. Dissent is essential to democracy, but dissent must never lead to disorder or to denying the rights of others so students can finish the semester and their college education. Look, it's basically a matter of fairness. It's a matter of what's right. There's the right to protest, but not the right to cause chaos. People have the right to get an education.
Hey, you know what? Now that the chaos is over, that's when he's talking. I'm looking right now at UCLA. All the hooligans have been arrested, but it's kind of over. You know, it's kind of over at Columbia. Now he says something when it's good and safe to say so. not a leader. You know, one of 100 senators for how long? 50 years? Those guys don't know how to lead. They know how to put out statements and write proclamations or have somebody else write a proclamation and show up at the ribbon cutting and brag about how much pork they brought home, how much money they brought home for needless, useless projects. Keep going.
Agree. The right to walk across the campus safely without fear of being attacked. But let's be clear about this as well. There should be no place on any campus, no place in America, for anti-Semitism or threats of violence against Jewish students. There is no place for hate speech or violence of any kind, whether it's anti-Semitism, Islamophobia,
yep,
or discrimination against Arab Americans or Palestinian Americans.
Stop. You see what I mean? I knew it. Let me be clear, he finally says. Well, if he's finally being clear, what was he over the past, since October? Since October 7th. This guy hasn't stood up for Jewish people, Jewish students. This has been unleashed by the left. And he has to, they're cooperating with it. They're facilitating it. They're part of it. It's amazing. And there's the proof right there. Islamophobia. Give me a break. Yes, Islamophobia is wrong, but it ain't happening. Where is it? Show me some. Show me some. Keep going.
It's simply wrong. There's no place for racism in America. It's all wrong. It's un-American. I understand people have strong feelings and deep convictions. In America, we respect the right and protect the right for them to express that. But it doesn't mean anything goes. It needs to be done without violence, without destruction, without hate, and within the law. You know, I'll make no mistake. As president, I will always defend free speech. And I will always be just as strong in standing up for the rule of law. That's my responsibility to you, the American people, and my obligation to the Constitution. Thank you very much.
Mr. President, have the protests forced you to reconsider any of the policies with regard to the region?
No. Thank you.
Mr. President, do you think the National Guard should intervene?
No.
Mr. President, do you agree with what the students are calling for?
Mr. President.
No. No. And off he goes. That's so interesting. When did he actually get to, I mean, it's such a small statement, 3 minutes long. And he waited to, I think, 2 minutes and 45 seconds to start talking about anti-Semitism and brings up Islamophobia right away. Like as if Islamophobia means anything, as if it's doing anything. Why do we always play up Islamophobia when there ain't none? There ain't none. Sorry. Where do you see it? Where has it happened? Where has been the last anti-Islam protest? Show me. And for that matter, where's the last white supremacy? Where's the white supremacy? Where are the arrests of all the white supremacists? If it was such the existential threat to America, you see what I mean? Wow. Hey, Watergate was 50 years ago this summer. 50 years ago. Well, actually, Watergate was already in full swing, and Nixon resigned in 1974, August of 1974. I am way behind in my Watergate plans because Watergate is a fascinating episode in American history, and it is wildly misunderstood. It was a deep state coup against a sitting U.S. president, Richard Nixon. Don't believe all the crap that you've heard about it, that Woodward and Bernstein, you know, Johnny on the spot there, and that they did some really strong investigative reporting and found out this, that, and the other thing about the plumbers unit and G. Gordon Liddy and the break-in, and a presidency came tumbling down. It was a deep state hit. Absolutely. And it's very similar to the stuff that they have been pulling on Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump had to deal with Strzok and Page. I don't think anybody really has come to terms with this. One of the prime movers of Watergate was a guy named Mark Felt, who was the deputy director of the FBI, leaking on the president, mad at the president because he didn't get to become the FBI director. Half of the Watergate burglars were CIA employees, Central Intelligence Agency employees. Did that just happen? I'll tell you what, Nixon didn't know about the burglary, but the CIA certainly did. And all these years later, the CIA covering for Joe Biden. Hey, I hear that that Hunter Biden has the nerve. He's going to sue about that laptop. He's suing Fox about the laptop and may sue others about his pictures. Oh, you can't show these pictures, or that's not my, make up your mind. You know, your father told us that the entire intelligence community come forward and say that this was Russia disinformation. Remember that? And then 3 or 4 years later, finally, it was confirmed that it was actually Hunter Biden's laptop. And now he's going to sue people for showing the pictures. That is pretty low. But given today's judicial system, well, what do you expect? Trump is in the trial right now. And I hear things are going very well for the defense. They got this Emil Bove cross-examining Keith Davidson. Oh, it's funny how much everybody hates Michael Cohen. I talked about that yesterday. Every single witness gets up there and says Michael Cohen is the most obnoxious guy they ever met. This guy, Keith Davidson, talks about his assistant, Gina. And Gina, well, Dylan asked Gina to call Michael Cohen and finish the deal with him. And Gina refused. So she asked me to call Cohen, and I refused. And then Dylan called me to convince me to call Cohen. So can we just break it down? Sure. Basically, nobody wanted to deal with Michael Cohen. Is that the moral of the story? Exactly. That's exactly the moral of the story. And then he finally gets in touch with Michael Cohen. And what happens is, here's another message. Some jerk called me and was very, very aggressive and threatened to sue me. And I am like, would you want to talk to Keith? Keith, can you call this jerk back? The lawyer says, I hate to ask it this way, but who was that jerk? The answer, it was Michael Cohen. he finally gets Michael Cohen on the phone. Hello, Michael. This is Keith Davidson. And what follows is a bunch of cursing and yelling and screaming. And the attorney is like, let's see here. I called. I was transferred to Michael Cohen. I introduced myself. And before I could barely get my name out, I was just met with like a hustle barrage of insults and insinuations and allegations that went on for quite a while. Question. What was the gist of what he was accusing you of? I don't think he was accusing us of anything. He was just screaming. And this is the guy who's going to come forward in Michael Cohen. He's their star witness. It ain't going to work very well. It's just not going to work. Let me talk to John for a moment. John, what do you want to say about Joe Biden?
Well, I was going to say Joe Biden talked about no protest with violence. Where was he a week ago when everybody encamped, trashed the schools, caused how much now, how much damage, we don't know. Number two, Al Soros is giving money to these support groups. Maybe he should live on Social Security, see how he likes it. Maybe welfare. HRA gives out $291 in food stamps.
All right. Thanks, John. Great points. One more. Nate in the Bronx, the medical assistant up there. Very learned man. What's going on?
Yeah, good afternoon. So pretty much with regard to the Trump trial, I just want to remind the leftists who are gloating over this situation and actually think that it's a wonderful thing that the justice system is being perverted in order to prosecute and persecute people on the right. Now, the same way that this is happening to a president, and it's going to happen to any random conservative member of the public, that same illegal police power and illegal use of the justice system to persecute people, it's going to happen to leftists as well. Because, again, nobody is safe under a police state. I want to make that absolutely clear, not even the people who run them. Because when you remember back in the Soviet Union, you know, the Soviet Union initially persecuted people who were opposed to the regime.
Yeah, I know. Hey, by the way, what is the relation? I agree, but what is the relationship between you and cops? Every now and then you call up and I get the sense that you don't like cops. Not here, but we've talked before. So what is it with you and cops?
Don't get me wrong. You know,
cut to the chase, though. What is it with you and cops?
Yeah, well, with regard to, I don't like the way that they're used by politicians to, you know, they're sicked on people by politicians to violate their civil liberties.
Well, give me an example of that happening. I'm talking about police. When have police been, give me an example.
Yeah, like law enforcement. If you remember 1992.
It's going back way, 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 way back to 1990. I'm just curious. Like, give me an example of politicians misusing cops, police officers, local police, the way you say, in violation of people's rights.
Okay, perfect. Well, with regard to the Antifa riots of 2020, you know, you had people rioting and murdering and killing people in the streets, and the police were hands off.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Well, yeah, actually, in New York, they were encouraged to a light touch. Well, I asked for an example, and that's an example in the other way, but it's an example. And but I don't think it, you know, the police do have their orders. And in a weird way. Yeah, I get you, pal. Hey, last thing, medical assistant. What narrow that down for me? What do you actually assist with? What do you do particularly?
Well, the ambit of a medical assistant is to perform EKGs, phlebotomy, blood pressure, taking vitals, etc., preparing patients for other exams. That's just a beachhead into what I really want to do. I'm actually finishing up my undergrad degree, and when I'm done with the undergrad degree, I'm actually going to be either a physician assistant or a nurse practitioner.
Keep it up, man. Keep it up. I love it. You're studying, you're bettering yourself, and good stuff. Be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network. Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Have you seen Jerry Seinfeld all over the place for the Pop-Tart movie? Yeah, I know he doesn't like woke. Most people don't like woke. He's getting a lot of credit for saying he doesn't like woke. I'm just reminded what a nasty guy he is. He's very mean to the reporters who talk to him, and you know, he's just over everything. You know, he's seen everything. Nothing impresses him anymore, and he's just, you know, been there, done that. I saw him perform live once, and he was like, if I'm not funny, it doesn't matter because I don't even have to be doing this. You know, I am, I could be anywhere in the world right now, yet I'm going to be with you. Like he was somehow slumming it. You know, it was over at the Beacon Theater. So every time a joke did not land, and a lot of his jokes were like 20 years old. I get it. You're a successful comedian and you don't have to break a sweat for anything. And, this is all for your own amusement purposes, I guess, right? You don't really give a damn. You don't have to work hard. And he just, the way he looks at people with such contempt, he just, you know, nothing's good enough. Nobody's as cool as he is. And nobody is as rich as he is. You know, what is he worth now? $1 billion? He still gets like hundreds of millions of dollars a year for Seinfeld reruns. It's all right. There's the music. Well, is this Pop-Tart movie any good? Maybe.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Now, having said that, Jerry Seinfeld can be kind of mean and aloof and condescending. Let's face it, he's a bit of a genius as well. He's very, very good at that stuff, and he's made one hell of a contribution, appreciating the little things, making fun of the absurd little moments in life. That's all rich. And he, look, I guess, I heard him once say, do you miss being on television? And he said, being on television? I was television. You know, Seinfeld was the biggest thing in the world. Like, Jackie Gleason and Frank Sinatra and Tyler Perry and all these guys wrapped up all into one. That was Jerry Seinfeld. That's how big he was. Was another one. One of those Hemsworth brothers. I mean, he had it all going on, and he still does. I mean, as much money as he made back then, he's making more now. He invested that money, and then the royalties and this, that, and the other thing he is going on, and the Netflix stuff makes a killing. Sometimes I just think that the comedians themselves, like, it's been the most overexplored genre. You know, you see comedians on cars, in cars getting coffee or something like that, and this podcast, that podcast, it's all about comedians talking about their method, talking about, you know, how they came up with this, that, or the other thing. It's just, what about the doctor? What about the surgeon? What about the dentist? What about the bus driver? What about those guys? I'm curious about their methods, but you don't find any shows about bus drivers. I mean, not, well, The Honeymooners was, but you know what I mean? Like a real show about a bus driver. And it doesn't have to be, I'm not talking reality TV, just finding out about a bus driver's life and what that bus is like and how hard is it to drive and do you feel cut off from the people because they put you in a plastic box? You know, they put them in the plastic box because of COVID and that plastic box still remains. Jerry did have some interesting thoughts, though, about this moment we're in with the PC and the woke. And he is a smart guy. I just wish he'd be – he's a cold fish. That's my beef with him, you know. If I ever saw him at a – I did meet him at a party once. And he was fine, but there was something very distant about him. You know, don't meet – yeah, just – but anyway, it doesn't matter. It's not his responsibility to be a nice guy to me when I meet him. It's his responsibility to – make incredible content, and he has, and he does. And he does have some interesting things to say about the state of the world and the culture, all right? So this is the last clip, if you don't mind, just sent. Listen to this.
Nothing really affects comedy. People always need it. They need it so badly, and they don't get it. It used to be you would go home at the end of the day. Most people would go, oh, Cheers is on. Oh, MASH is on. Oh, Mary Tyler Moore is on. All in the Family's on. You just expected there'll be some funny stuff we can watch on TV tonight. Well, guess what? Where is it? This is the result of the extreme left and PC crap and people worrying so much about offending other people. Mm-hmm. When you write a script and it goes into four or five different hands, committees, groups, here's our thought about this joke. Well, that's the end of your comedy. They move the gates, like in skiing.
Yeah.
Culture, the gates are moving. Your job is to be agile and clever enough that wherever they put the gates, I'm going to make the gate.
All right, good for him. But yeah, comedy by committee generally often takes the fun out of it. Now, here is where he goes off the deep end a little bit and takes himself and other comedians a bit too seriously. And I swear there are, I mean, hundreds of interviews with this guy, and they go to him like he's this guru. And well, I guess it is insightful to a degree, but is this a little bit much? This is that Graham Bessinger guy who I always see in the back of the cab. Go ahead.
You said your mind works faster under pressure. In what ways is that evident to you?
Things are happen on stage that do not happen anyplace else in life. You don't even feel your feet when you're on stage. You don't feel your body. You know, you're kind of in hyperspace. The brain is sped up because you're in a fight or flight condition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very moment to moment survival environment, which is what makes it so addictive. You know, it's very adrenaline fueled. I mean, it's like emergency room stuff. You know, it's like SEAL Team 6, you know.
All right, give me a break. It's like emergency room in SEAL Team 6. Some guy hanging around a brick wall at the Comedy Cellar is like SEAL Team 6 doing the same jokes he's done a million times before. You ever see a comedian? You ever see two shows of a comedian? You know, they have the 8:30 show, then they have the 10:30 show. It's the same show. I don't know. That's a little much. Don't you think? I think so. Barbara, welcome back. Hello.
Hi, Greg. Glad to hear your voice again. And I just wanted you to know that today is National Day of Prayer.
And, according to who? I've heard this, but according to, I mean, it's National Donut Day some days. It's National This. It's National That. Who came up with National Prayer Day?
Congress back in 1952 or 57. I forget which. But it comes from Congress. Every year, Congress orders the president to declare the day which Biden did declare this to be the National Day of Prayer. So, yes, it really is an actual day, a day of prayer. And there are many churches across the country that observe it, that get together, especially get together with other churches. So, but Biden, you know, we know he doesn't really, he gives lip service, but he only uses religion when it's useful to him. And in his time in office so far, he has spoken 31 times, whereas President Trump in his 4 years spoke about it 117 times. And President Trump helped strengthen religious freedom. Every time Biden talks about religious freedom, it's in reference to not protecting Christians from attacks on their churches and their life centers, but it's making sure that the Muslims, the Sheikh, the Sikhs, et cetera, are not discriminated against. And it's making sure that religious organizations that feed the hungry and help with church adoption of children, making sure that they're not imposing their faith on the people that they serve. So when Biden talks about religion, it's not necessarily a good thing. And when he talks about religion, we know he's not being truthful. He's being a hypocrite.
Yeah, I know. Boy, oh boy, he uses it as a punchline. As a punchline. You know, when he makes the sign of the cross. By the way, I'm looking at a split screen right now on TV. You got the riots at UCLA and people, you know, fighting with the cops. And on the left, I'm looking at courtroom sketches as a state prosecutor questions Keith Davidson, the porno star's attorney, about something that may or may not have happened in 2005 and another series of paperwork transactions that happened in 2016. Most of the media's focus, it's going back. Yeah, most of it right now is on that silly trial, how he puts up with it. And you know what? It's amazing how life works, isn't it? That Wednesday, yesterday, he was more active yesterday on that one day. He had a rally in Michigan, another rally, I think, in Minnesota. Two back-to-back rallies. And somehow, I don't know, this is all working out to his advantage, isn't it, Barbara?
Well, yes, it is. And we are so blessed to have a human being who can do that, who has that kind of strength and stamina, but also who is inspired by his love for the country and his love for we the people. We are so blessed to have that. He is an exceptional man in so many ways.
Well, thank you very much, Barbara. Hey, by the way, Eric Adams, for all the... Hey, there goes Trump. He just left court, I guess, for another... What is it, a lunch break? Adams is saying that there have not been attacks on Jewish students. There have not been attacks on Jewish students. You know, he's got all kinds of ties to the radicals, and he's got all kinds of ties. Has anyone seen this picture? It was in the New York Post, which, of course, is giving him all kinds of glowing coverage, but saying that there have not been attacks on Jewish students, that's blind. And then again, he can't see very well because he's always looking at himself in the mirror. There is a clothes rack in his specialized SUV that brings him everywhere around. There have got to be 75 changes of clothes in the back of that room, in the back of that SUV, rather. I mean, it's crazy. It's not the way a public servant should be functioning, right? Hey, the other thing is, don't be surprised if Donald Trump makes a special, interesting appearance somewhere in Manhattan today. I'm hearing rumors that there's going to be something along the lines of, remember his trip to the bodega? Could be like that. It could be like his trip to the hard hats. Remember that last week? That was amazing. Something else beautiful is going to happen today, I'm told, around 5 o'clock. Be right back.
Greg Kelly, on the Red Apple Podcast Network. Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Well, right now it's getting interesting and more exculpatory. Exculpatory, that means Donald Trump is innocent. All this evidence seems to be pointing toward his innocence, even from sleazy characters or people I kind of assume are sleazy characters like lawyers who are representing porn stars looking for money. His name is Keith Davidson. And the more I'm listening to this guy, the more I'm actually thinking, you know what? Maybe he's not such a bad guy after all. Right now he's being cross-examined, but some interesting things came out on Direct, that it looks to me like Michael Cohen not only agreed to this deal, but paid it and did not talk to Donald Trump. Never actually got a sign off from Donald Trump. That is, very, very possible. So they make this deal where they're going to give all this money to Stormy Daniels, $120,000. Now, I say who makes the deal. The only people we know is Michael Cohen, and Michael Cohen is running around. Another thing here, he might be addicted to cocaine. I mean, it would explain a lot. The guy is all over the place. He's not making any sense half the time. He's telling this lawyer a bunch of different excuses that don't make sense. And also kind of the lawyer is catching him in lies all the time. He's manic. He's a manic guy. And cocaine will do that to you, right? That will definitely do that. And so he emails this guy, Michael Cohen, Keith Davidson, who's representing Stormy Daniels. Michael, I have been charged by my client with forwarding the below message. We have written a settlement agreement which calls for settlement payment to be made by the end of business this past Friday, October 14, 2016. No payment was received. We spoke on Friday, October 14th. You stated that the funds would be wired today, October 17th. No funds have been received as of the sending of this email. My client informs me that she intends to cancel the settlement contract if no funds are received by 5 p.m. Pacific time. Please call me if you have any questions. Keith, the question is, what prompted you to send this email? Answer, their failure to meet the funding deadline repeatedly and being met with a barrage of excuses as to why they had failed. In addition, question to these emails back and forth between yourself and Michael Cohen, were you also speaking with him on the phone during this period? Yes. Can you tell us about those conversations? Well, it was a bunch of excuses. It was contradictions. Things that he was saying did not make sense from one conversation to the next. Again, the contradictions just didn't leave me with a comfort level that there was a true intention to fund the deal. Question, do you remember any of the other excuses that he gave you? Answer, yes. Tell us some. He stated that the computer systems were all fouled up. He stated, you can't believe what we're going through. The Secret Service is in here. They have so many damn firewalls. I can't get crap. It's not my fault. You're going to have to resend the agreements again. I never got your emails, even though he previously told me he received them and the wiring instructions. I think that's it for this period of time that I can recall. Did he ever make reference to Mr. Trump's whereabouts? Yes, he did. What do you remember him saying about that? I called him and said, Michael, this is a very bad situation. I have a client and her rep Gina is very upset. It's making me look bad and I don't believe really a word of what you are saying. And then he said, well, damn it, what do you expect me to do? My guy is in five freaking states today and three or four or five different states today. There is nothing I can do. I am doing everything I can. Question, when he said his guy was in a certain number of states, who did you understand his guy to be making reference to? Answer, Donald Trump. And what was the relevance based on your conversation with Michael Cohen about what was the relevance of the fact that Mr. Trump was in three or four or five different states? What do they mean by that? Oh, he was campaigning. And to me, it was a similar situation I run into all the time. It was similar to like someone who doesn't have the purse strings. It's like an attorney has to go call an insurance adjuster like that. Michael Cohen did not have the authority to actually spend money, despite the fact that there has been so many excuses and funding deadlines that already had been missed. Question, you believe that Michael Cohen did not have the authority to spend the money? Yes. Did he at some point say something to you about what he would do to get the money? Yes. What did he say? Well, I can tell you by these emails that I was sending him, there was a great level of frustration by me and my client. I let him know that the level of dissatisfaction was quite high. He said, damn it, I'll just do it myself. What did you understand him to mean? I'll just do it myself. That he would not seek authority to consummate the deal, excuse me, fund the deal. It was consummated with a signature. He would waive the authority in order to fund that. Okay, so Michael Cohen would not get the authority from his boss, Donald Trump. he would just do it himself. He would sign the agreement. And not only that, we now know that Michael Cohen took a mortgage out on his own home to get his hands on $130,000 to get to this lawyer and the porn star. Michael Cohen did that on his own. Now, Michael Cohen is going to say that Donald Trump told him to do it. Did he? Are we going to believe Michael Cohen? I don't think nobody in this case so far believes anything that Michael Cohen says. Anything. He's a jerk. He's lying. Nobody can stand him. And I'm telling you, I'm reading this thing. I think this guy was on cocaine. He had to be on some sort of cocaine. That would make a lot of sense. Gail, what do you think? Hello.
Hi. Well, somebody was mentioning, talking about religion and how Christians have been so very helpful to the poor. And I'm a very spiritual person. I believe that. But I'm concerned because all the organized religious groups, such as Catholics, have, for example, these NGOs like Catholic Charities. And they're giving, they're getting huge subsidies from the government, not just encouraging the illegal to come in, but facilitating it. And I even heard the Seventh-day Adventists. I mean, they're all doing it. And I like suspect strongly that the reason the Catholic archdiocese, et cetera, aren't saying anything to them is that they're getting a cut of the action. So I think really church members should speak up because it doesn't
well,
really
don't you
help
think
poor.
First that church members should know what the hell's going on? I mean, you're going off a lot of theory. You're going off of stuff that you've heard, a lot of it provided by the fake news. You know, I just, before we speak up, I think we got to know exactly what the hell we're talking about. Now, I've heard these murmurings myself. Yeah, this is exactly what the Catholic Church needs, right? More problems, more accusations, more lawyers, more this, more that. I don't know. I think, you know, you've heard it. I don't know if you know it. I've seen the same stuff. Well, I haven't really seen it. I've just heard it. I've heard mumblings, rumblings. I still like to think that they're the good guys, don't you?
Well, Catholic Charities facilitating illegals coming in. That's,
you know,
not,
I mean,
good.
By facilitating illegals, I mean, what do you know? What do you know? I'm not talking about something you read on the blog. What do you actually know about that? What does that mean, facilitating to you? What does it actually mean?
There are people.
I want to know how you know and what you know. First of all, tell me how you know.
Immigration USA, Todd Bensman.
And wait. Todd Bensman is writing a piece, an opinion piece. Are you seeing any documentation of this? All right. You know, Todd Bensman, whoever the hell he is sitting at a computer somewhere. I don't trust these guys. All right. I am sick of the attacks on the Catholic Church, even Catholic Charities. I think they're a force for good. I know that the Biden administration, they're the ones who are responsible. All right. Catholic Charities, look, they want to help poor people wherever the hell they are, right? Right? Basically, don't they? Don't they?
Well,
for the most part, you know, you told me you're spiritual, but what do you mean by that? Are you Christian? What are you? Where are you coming from? Are you Catholic?
It is not helping. No. Yes, they're helping illegal people who are poor.
There are a million things to be upset about right now. And you the Catholic Charities, I'm not going there. I can't. I haven't seen it. I got enough on my plate. You know, and you're saying we Catholics have to speak out because of something you read on a website.
No.
All right. I'm sorry. I'm just not. I mean, good luck as you pursue the truth on this, but I'm not there and I'm not going to. I think Cardinal Dolan is a good man and would not accept any crap like that. I don't think that's happening. We all know the Catholic Church has problems, and oh, lo and behold, now they have more problems, and they're up to no good, you think? You saying Catholic Charities? I'm not buying it. Prove me wrong, but I need more than some guy's article, okay? It's not enough to look at an article.